Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series, and actually we're drawing to the close of a series that I've been doing for 5 weeks now. And I've been talking about finances, specifically about being a steward of God's finances. And I think that this is so timely with the economic situation that we see today, and many people are realizing that they have been basing their finances on this world's principles. All that's happening right now is the world economy is ebbing and flowing. It happens all of the time. And it'll come back. There will be a return. But I'm saying that some people's faith has been shaken to the core. I've read stories about people that have killed themselves, about one couple that actually killed themselves and all five of their children. That's just crazy. But it's because people are so into this world system. Their trust, their hope is so much into the world that when the world system falls apart, they fall apart. You know, if that has happened to you, it's time for you to realign and get established on God's principles of finances, and you can prosper regardless of what's going on in the world. That is absolutely true. I've been talking about that. This is now into my fifth week, and we're nearing the end of this teaching. So please go to the effort of getting these materials. I tell you, the things that I've taught in sequence. They have built one upon another. And if you are only getting in on today's program, or you heard yesterday and today's, you really need to get the entire teaching. Plus, you need to be able to go back over this. I can promise you, you didn't get everything in just hearing it one time. And it makes a bigger impact on you when you can listen to this in its entirety instead of being broken up into little 30-minute segments. So please get these materials. I'm not saying this for my benefit. I'm saying it for yours. This is how you get this word on the inside of you, is by meditating on it over and over and over. It would be a blessing to you. What I want to talk about today is the last teaching. I've got 6 parts in this series on financial stewardship, and the last part in this is your partnership in the kingdom. And what I want to do, I've already taught so many things. Again, I wished I had time to go back and just catch everybody up to speed, but kind of another step, kind of like an overdrive, the afterburners. If you really want to move on into the things of God, then you need to recognize that there is power in partnership with the gospel. Now, again, I hesitate to say some of these things because there's going to be some people watching this program who are thinking it's all self-serving and self-motivated, and I'm just saying this because of the benefit it could make to me and to my ministry. And I can't control what you think. Some of you are going to judge me regardless if I spent 2 or 3 hours trying to position what I'm saying. I'm just telling you that that's not it. I am saying that this is something I've learned myself. This is something I put into practice, and it's what the Word teaches, that when you become a partner with a ministry, you basically begin to start partaking of that anointing, of that blessing, of the prosperity that is on that ministry. It starts trickling down to all of the people who are involved in that ministry. Now, some of you don't understand that, but this is exactly what the Word's saying. And let me use a scripture over here in Philippians chapter 4 to start this teaching and to make this point. Verse 19 is a familiar passage, and you'll hear people say this often, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And people will just take that verse and across the board say that whoever you are, God is going to supply your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, I've used this verse multiple times during this series over the last 5 weeks, talking about that you can have your needs supplied according to His riches in glory. It doesn't have to be based on this world economy. And all of those are true statements. But did you know that technically speaking, now listen to this, that verse, Philippians 4:19, is not written to Joe Blow Christian. Now, there are promises about how God wants to meet our needs and how that Jesus became poor so that we, through His poverty, might be made rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9. And there's lots of promises about financial blessings upon every person, even non-Christians. The Scripture says that God makes His sun to rise on the just and on the unjust and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God loves even non-Christians, people who aren't submitted to Him and rejected Him. There's still a goodness towards them. There are specific promises of blessing and prosperity to people who are believers. But what I'm saying is that there is even another level, another step, when you start partnering with a ministry. And this was written to Paul's partners. Now, if I had time, I could go back and teach the whole book of Philippians, but let me quickly just try and make this point by using a couple of scriptures. In chapter 1, Paul said in verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." That Greek word that was used in verse 5 for fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, and it literally means partnership. It was translated partnership other places in Scripture. So the Apostle Paul is talking about people who were partners with him. And again, I could turn to the book of Acts and I could show you this in more detail, but Paul says it right here in this same book over in chapter 4 and in verse 10. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." And again, this is old English, but if you study it out, if you read it in context, the care that he's talking about is that these people gave him parchments, scrolls to study. They sent clothes. They gave financial aid. They helped him in the physical realm. And this is what he's talking about. And he says, "I rejoice greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein also you were careful, but you lacked opportunity." What he's talking about is that these people wanted to help him even more than they had. But back during the days that the Apostle Paul wrote this, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have a postal service. They didn't have the communication things that we had. And Paul was actually shipwrecked on the way to Rome and stayed on an island for a number of months. And so the people literally didn't even know where he was and how to help him for months at a time or a year at a time. When they finally found out that he had been imprisoned in Rome, immediately they sent these supplies and things to help him. And this is what he's talking about. They would have done more, but they lacked opportunity because of the communication situation of that day. In verse 11, he says, here's the reason he's speaking this. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." So he's saying, I'm not saying these things because I was just craving all of these physical things. It's really the fact that you have expressed your love and care. That's what really blessed him more than just the physical stuff. In verse 12, he says, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That's another verse that we often pull out of context and make an application concerning everything about. You can win a marathon. You can get this promotion. You can get this marriage to work. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in context, he's talking about that he can either be abased, he can do without things physically, he can do without food, he can do without clothes. He had learned how to do without. He had also learned how to abound. He could deal with all of those situations through Christ who strengthened him. And then in verse 14, he says, "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." And again, this isn't just talking about they made a phone call. This is talking about that they gave something, that they partnered with him. They sent financially to help him in the physical realm. He says, it's good that you had done this. And in verse 15, he says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." You know, that has to be, in my estimation, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Now, Paul isn't saying it for that purpose. I don't think that there's any grief or sadness in his voice. But as I look at this, here's a man who laid his life down. He was single. We don't know if he was married at one time or whatever, but basically he was single throughout this time. He traveled the world. He suffered. He went through hardship. He was put in prison. He was beaten with rods, beaten with whips. He was rejected like no other man was. He said that it looked like that God had set forth him as an example of suffering. He suffered more than everybody else. This man gave up his life, and he was so effective that here we are 2,000 years later, still talking about him, reading his words. He's made a profound impact on the world. And yet, only one, this really bothers me. One group of people out of the millions, or I don't know if it was millions, maybe thousands, hundreds of thousands of people he ministered to, one group of people ever sent him an offering outside of when he was there in that local place. Now, there was other places, Berea and Thessalonica and Corinth and other places that they gave him offerings when he was there and helped him. But the Philippians, he says, now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. That's just an old English way of saying that they sent twice when he was in Thessalonica. When Paul was in Philippi, he established a church there, and then he got put in prison, and he was expelled from the city. And so he went to the next town of Thessalonica, and he began to start preaching there. And the Philippian church was so thankful for what Paul had done for them that they not only helped him while he was there and preaching directly to him, they didn't just take him out to eat after the service and feed him and help him while he was there. But when he went to Thessalonica, they started sending finances and they helped him there. And they did it twice. And Paul said that they would have done it even more, but because of the communication of those days, they didn't know where he was. They didn't know exactly how to get it to him. And so we know that they did it twice in Thessalonica, and then they sent finances to him when he was in Rome. And Paul is saying, you are the only people that ever did that. I think that that's just tragic. That's a shame. A man laid down his life, and some people appreciated what they were getting. That would be similar to, you know, you go to a place and you eat, and you pay them for what you ate right then. There were some people who did that. But there were very few people that gave above what it took for them to get the gospel. And they started giving and partnering with a ministry who was going out and changing the world. A ministry that would 2,000 years later still be having a profound impact on the world. Just one group of people. The Philippians did that. And Paul is talking to them, and he goes through this, and he says in verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He says the thing that really excited him wasn't just the fact that they gave to him. He says, it's not that I desire these things for myself. He had learned how to be abased. He had learned how to abound. It wasn't because it had helped him. The main thing that blessed him, he was excited for the Philippians because he says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And by saying this, he's saying that when you became a partner with me, when you helped me preach the gospel, and you helped send me out and share the gospel with other people, then fruit directly comes back to your account. Now that's the context of all of these things. And then in that context, he says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That isn't just written to every Joe Blow member of the body of Christ, even though there's other scriptures that talk about God supplying their needs. This is a scripture that is saying that when you get hooked up with the gospel, when you are giving your finances beyond what it takes for you to eat and survive, but instead you are now becoming missions-minded. You are beginning to start taking the prosperity that comes your way and you start partnering with a ministry, there is supernatural benefit that comes to you. And one of those things is God will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you've heard me say throughout this 5-week series that I've been doing on financial stewardship, how that our ministry is prospering and it's going against the current trend, which is People are losing things. Giving is down. Finances are down. It's just the opposite with us. We're up. You know, one of the reasons, again, I think that there's multiple things that are involved, but one of the reasons is that I spend a lot of money putting out the gospel. I'm not talking about just through our ministry, but we give away hundreds of thousands of dollars to ministries, to missions. We build houses in places. We are preaching the gospel. We are sending people around the world. We are doing things. And you know what? Because of that, God has supernaturally supplied my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, Jamie and I do this in our personal finances. We were just talking today, and we gave away over 50% of everything we got last year. And we do it, and we send the gospel around the world. I believe that that's one of the reasons that our stock portfolio has gone up 26% instead of down 26% like a lot of people. You know why? You get involved in doing this. When you become a partner in the ministry, it just releases a supernatural flow towards you. You know, these good friends of mine, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, they travel with me and they do praise and worship. And Charlie and Jill, this has been many years ago now, I couldn't tell you exactly, but I know it's been over 10 years. I'm not sure exactly how long ago it was, but Charlie and Jill, like all of us, started ministering in small venues and small churches, and they've always had a desire to help smaller ministries get started. So in Joyful Word Ministries, which is Charlie and Jill's ministry, they always took their money that they gave, and they gave it basically to these very small churches and very small missions things that nobody else knew about. And the reason they did it is because they just wanted to make the biggest impact that they possibly could. But as they grew in the Lord convicted them about these exact things and about the power of partnership and giving to where they were fed. And not just giving to where the need was the greatest, but giving to where they were fed. And this is Charlie and Jill's own testimony, that they had been blessed by Kenneth Hagin. They went to Rhema Bible College, so they started partnering with Kenneth Hagin. They had been blessed by me, so they started partnering with me. And Joyce Meyer had been a big influence in their life, and so they started partnering with these three ministries. And, of course, mine was the smallest of those three. But Kenneth Hagin and Joyce Meyer brought in millions and millions of dollars. And when the Lord spoke to them about this, they actually were hesitant about it at first. And they said, God, we only have a little bit to give and we want to bless these small churches. But the Lord spoke to them about giving where they were fed and who had been a blessing to them. And they said, well, Andrew Womack, Kenneth Hagin, Joyce Meyer. And so they started being partners with these ministries. Did you know it was only a few months after they started doing that, that Joyce and Dave Meyer, who were friends of theirs, and they had known them for a long time, called them in and asked them to start leading the praise and worship at their meetings. And for 7 years, they traveled with Joyce Myers and led praise and worship for upwards, I think when they were in Uganda, there was 25,000 people there. Some of the women's conferences, it was over 10, 15,000 people. They were ministering for 5,000 to 10,000 people. I mean, their ministry just exploded. And when Joyce and Dave took them out to eat and asked them to do that, one of the things they said was, we looked up to see if you were partners with this ministry. And praise God, they had been partners for a brief period of time. And they said because of that, that was one of the things, that was one of the factors that they invited them to do this. And so here's my point. See, they weren't giving where they were fed. They finally started giving. And although in their mind they thought, but these are ministries with multiple millions coming in. Why should I be giving there? You give where you're fed. They had been fed through these ministries, so they started giving. And I mean just, it's like, you know, you've got this river flowing by. And in this river is all this life-giving water. When you start giving into that, it's like you dig a little channel over towards you and a little bit of that goes to flowing. And pretty soon, if that channel gets deep enough, you could actually divert the course of the river to you. And you see these ministries that have an anointing on them, when you start partnering with them, you know what you're doing? You're taking that, and that anointing that is on that ministry starts flowing towards you, whether it's good or bad. That's the reason that you don't need to give in response to gimmicks and just being pressured. Because if you give to a ministry that is not good, and for whatever reason they've pressured you into giving, well, then that negative anointing, that curse that is operating on them starts coming your way. I could spend a lot of time explaining that, but it's true. And it's true also that when you see an anointing on a ministry and you become a partner with them, and what I'm describing as a partner is more than just a gift to pay for the materials that you get. In a sense, that's just paying for what you've got. I'm talking about partnership is over and above what you are directly getting. You instead are helping this ministry to reach out and touch other people. When you start partnering like that, then my God supplies all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then there is a special anointing that starts flowing in your life. And brothers and sisters, there's just, I'm going to give you a lot of other scriptures on this. This is not all I've got to share on it. I'm going to give you some other examples. But there is a special anointing on partnership. And if you want to really move into the abundance that God's gets, you've got to get beyond this just emotional giving to where you give, where you're begged, or where you see a need, or where somebody's in crisis situation, and you just kind of an emotional response. You need to be a deliberate, on-purpose giver. It says this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul said, lay aside at the beginning of every week how God has prospered you so that there isn't any gatherings when I come. He was saying that you'll accomplish more doing it systematically on a weekly basis than you will just waiting until some crisis arises and then you give. You need to be a deliberate, on-purpose giver, and there is not any higher purpose for you to be putting your money into than preaching the gospel and touching people's lives. And when you do that, that's what Paul was writing about in Philippians. These were people that just, they were the only group of people that gave beyond what it cost for them to get the gospel, and they were helping Paul reach out and go places that no one else had gone. Go to places where there wasn't a strong enough Christian community to be able to support them. He would have to work for himself, and he would depend on people like the Philippians sending some money and doing some things to help him. You know, when you start giving that way, there is a supernatural blessing. So as we've been teaching about this financial stewardship, we're coming to the close of it. And if you want to move into the best that God has for you, you need to get beyond thinking about just yourself and what, you know, have I gotten and what is the materials that I've gotten worth and how can I bless this ministry back? But you need to start thinking about how can I help this ministry reach out and touch other people. You need to get into partnership where you're giving above and beyond what it costs for you to do things. And when you do that, there is a supernatural flow of blessing into your life. I've got a lot more to share about that, and so I'm going to continue this on our program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen in then, and also listen as our announcer gives you this information about how you can get this 6-part set on financial stewardship. We're drawing to a close on this teaching. You need to call or write today.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The 6th teaching in the audio CD album, Your Partnership in the Kingdom, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this 6th CD free of charge. Request teaching number T020C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'm teaching this truth because it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. But if God has spoken to you about partnership, again, you need to be partners with your local church. There are other good ministries. But if God has spoken to you about this ministry, if you have been fed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about being a partner with us. You know, the television industry estimates that only 1 out of 100 people who watch on a regular basis ever respond. If that's true, then 99% of you watching this who have been blessed have never partnered with us. I'd like to encourage you to just pray about it. Take these truths that we've talked about, and if the Lord speaks to you, then become a partner with us today. We have a number right there on your screen. Please call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at the East Coast Christian Center in Merritt Island, Florida, if you live anywhere remotely close to the Florida area. I've been going to this church for over 10 years, and Pastor Dan and Carolyn Stahlbaum are just tremendous people. They're great friends. You would really be blessed. We're going to have great services. We've got 4 services on Sunday, 3 in the morning, 1 at night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be holding services at 7 p.m. each evening. And this is located at 680 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida, at the East Coast Christian Center. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.
Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer.